Stefan Sembrovich with Agnieszka, March 3rd, 2014. Agnieszka, tell us your story. How did you come to England? How did it come about?
I would never have thought I would go abroad. I always thought I'll be living in Poland and just doing, being a teacher, I suppose. But at some point, my current boyfriend went to Scotland just for a couple of months to work, and he also wanted to find his auntie, who apparently was a professor at University of Glasgow, but he never found her. But he went, he worked, I joined him for a couple of months as well, and we went back to Poland.
What year was that?
It was 2005. In the summer, I was there in the summer.
So this is after the enlargement, of course.
Yes,
yes. Which was, remind us the date.
2004.
2004 was the enlargement. It was
when we joined European Union.
Joined then, the EU, yeah. Yes.
And then I realised one of my friends went to Canada to work as a babysitter, and she started speaking beautiful English, and I got a bit jealous and I wanted to do the same. But I was a bit afraid, so I thought, I don't have to go to Canada or America. I can go to England to do the same. And so I did. In 2006, I went to England to stay for over a year with the family, with American family, really, in Portsmouth. But we actually didn't get on very well, and I decided to leave after 3 months.
And you were 25.
2006, I was 25 then, yeah. And so me and my boyfriend decided we would, since I took a gap year then, so, and I was a bit like, didn't know what to do, so he thought we could still go back to Scotland together. He went to Scotland, I joined him, we stayed there for a year, just to use that gap year and to think about what to do next, and maybe learn a bit more English, although we really preferred British English over Glaswegian, because we went to Glasgow, but we stayed there because we had some connections and some friends, and we knew the place.
Well, I can't hear the Glasgow accent.
No, not any longer. No, not any longer.
So you're 25, and what qualifications did you have when you came to England?
I was teacher of Polish then, and I was experienced a bit as a waitress and housekeeper because my auntie had a hotel.
But you had qualifications as well.
Yeah.
What were they?
Well, teacher of Polish language and
a degree.
Master degree. It was in literature. It was Bolesław Leśmian poetry.
Okay. But that's not your only master's.
No, but it was later on when I went back. After a year in Glasgow, I went back to Poland and I finished my other degree in philosophy.
Yes.
It was about philosophy and poetry.
So you have two masters.
Yes.
Do you have a basic degree before that?
No. Right. I did two simultaneously. I wanted to do, then I went to learn a bit of more of English in teachers' training college in Poland as well. So I did it for a year.
So that's another qualification.
And I haven't finished it really because it was supposed to be for 3 years and I just didn't have time and money to carry on. And we decided to go back to England after a year because I just thought I'd like to be a teacher in here, in primary school. And I read in one of the newspapers in Glasgow that in England they wanted to introduce philosophy in primary schools. That was my target.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's quite a radical suggestion. It caused a lot of discussion.
I know, but I just read it in Sun or something. I didn't realise that was that kind of paper then. So that was just, I don't know, that was really spontaneous decision. So we were actually supposed to go back to Glasgow.
Yes.
But my husband hadn't finished his degree yet. So
yes.
I decided I'll go just for summer holiday here, somewhere in England, to live as an au pair, just to learn a bit more English and maybe survive, maybe look for something. But I didn't stay for summer holiday. I stayed for way long because we really get on well with family this time.
Ah, yes.
And we still keep in touch.
Yes.
They're lovely and they help me a lot. And obviously I help them as well. But I started volunteering in school at the same time. That's how I got experience in English school. And I started working in Polish school then as well. I found Polish school in Bristol. And that's how it started. And I just... My boyfriend then went to Glasgow and I was here and we were separate for 15 months because he wanted to be in Glasgow and I wanted to be here.
So is that boyfriend your husband now?
He's my husband now, yeah.
In spite of the long separation?
Yes, yeah. Very good. He decided I was right.
So tell us about the Polish school in Bristol.
There's technically there are three schools at the moment. One is by Polish church.
Yes.
And the other two are run by the same people, but they're separate school. One is called General Anders School and the other one is Wisława Szymborska School. She's the poet.
Yes, the poet, of course. Yeah,
who recently died. She died last year. She got a Nobel Prize.
She got a Nobel Prize.
So, but both schools run by the same people, but they're different parts of city just to make sure children got access from different parts of city as well because some parents don't drive or find it difficult.
These are full-time schools?
No, these are just Saturday
schools. Just Saturday schools, right. And they're for Polish children. Do they have state funding? How are they funded?
Oh, they're not funded at all. Parents pay for them.
Right. What do parents pay for this?
Oh, they pay £6 per day.
Yes, yes.
So their schools are just for 3.5 hours. And at the moment, the schools I work for is not the one by the church, which I'm not sure how it's run, really, the one by the church, but ours, they are, we would like to be charity, but I don't know if we're limited companies or something, but we were registered in Ofsted, and yes, we've got properly trained teachers. We go for several trainings, like child protection, first aid and everything. So everything is done properly.
CRB checks.
Yes, everything, everything. So it's not... It used to be a bit differently. It used to be like people with no qualification teaching. Just anybody could do it because there was no need, such need, like 20 years ago. It was I think people needed somebody who were able to speak Polish and were... had some skills, I'd say, you know, to entertain children, keep them occupied, you know, that kind of stuff.
Well, I went to a Saturday school in the 1950s.
Oh, how was it?
In Taunton. Well, I wanted to be playing rugby with my friends instead, but it's because it was Saturday, but the food was great.
All right.
And I still remember the singing the folk songs.
Right.
A teacher would come over from Swindon the train, long journey.
Right.
But I don't think she was perhaps up to the standards that would be expected nowadays.
Mm.
Is that a polite way? Moving on from that thought. So the teachers are paid or voluntary?
Yes, we are paid. That's not huge. It's £25 per Saturday. But I have to say, I spent every day preparing lessons, writing emails, contacting people, and we do loads of stuff on the top of that. Like at the moment, me and my friend, we're organising training for all the teachers to be able to meet together because we have no breaks to meet, to see. We don't see each other. We've got...
That's so important.
It is important, and we would like to maybe share experience. So we do loads of stuff for free. If we weren't paid, that would be just... We wouldn't be able to find anybody to teach. For when I was deputy head teacher, I didn't pay anybody because I didn't have money for that.
Yes.
Because we struggled. We had too few pupils then.
So how many in your school now?
At the moment, it's over 100 pupils in my school.
And how many teachers?
Let me think. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Sorry, let me... Przedszkole pierwsze, drugie, klasa pierwsza, klasa pierwsza, klasa druga, trzecia, czwarta, piąta, szósta, 11s. 10 teachers, plus we've got some volunteers as well. We've got some volunteers who are paid really little, really like...
It's expenses.
Yeah, just yes. Like nothing. And we've got people who come for completely for free sometimes as well. Yes. Yes. But it's really... difficult to find people like that. Yes. But for nearly a year, I was deputy head teacher. When the head teacher got really ill,
yes,
I decided
to keep it running.
Yeah, but I told the teachers, I can't pay you because all the money we're getting, we need to pay for school and for insurance.
Yes,
and from the premises, and there is nothing left. And they said, okay. And it was really difficult because we couldn't expect anything above what they wanted to give.
So I didn't. It sounds like you have a whole range of pupil ages. Up to A level?
Yes, yes. We've got special group of A levels. There's only 7 of them at the moment.
Yes.
They meet twice a week with the teacher and they just preparing for A levels. We're preparing children for GCSEs as well. Mm-hmm. There is a class to prepare to GCSEs. In my class, for example, there's 24 pupils. There are several classes over 20 children in the classroom. Some is less, depending. And it's very flexible. There's children coming and going because it's Saturday. And if Polish is not good enough, they lose motivation quite easily sometimes.
Yes.
Or if it gets too difficult because we... trying to have quite high standards.
Yes.
But also we're learning as well because I put my barriers quite high at the beginning of the year, but I've learned my lesson and I just needed to slow down at some point because it was for some children it was good challenge, but some of them they just got really it was really difficult and they just couldn't cope.
What problems arise? You see, we're talking about a population of children that's been, well, can I say dislocated from their home surroundings, and that can go well, it can go less well. What sort of problems do you encounter with these children? Thinking of emotional, thinking of behavioural perhaps?
I think they're coping quite well in general. Mm. It depends really how their parents sorted it out. If they've got nice, happy home, it's not a problem. But I have to tell you, most of them think they will come back. They're in the age 10 and above. They think they might be studying back in Poland.
Yes.
But I think just because it's free in Poland. I think so. That's what their parents keep telling them because education in Poland is still free higher education. But I...
University.
University, yes. Yeah. Yes. But I've got a couple of children whose parents split up and that's a problem. Some parents in Poland, that might be a bit of a problem. But it's not like, I don't think the situation they're in, they're in a different country, it's affecting their behaviour that much. Because it really depends how parents...
On the family.
Yeah, on the family.
Depends on the household.
Because I think sometimes we just need to think... I think sometimes we expect from the children to understand Poland and Polish like I understand that. But they're not because they haven't been there and they haven't experienced what we've experienced. This is completely new quality emigrant. It's completely new something. So they don't belong to Poland. Mm. They belong to England. I don't belong to England. Mm. I'm not belong to Poland. But in my heart, deep in my heart, I'm Polish and I know that.
Yes. Yes.
But they can be confused sometimes, I think. And this is something their parents expect them to be Polish, but they're not Polish anymore. And they, and unless they will go back to, but all those years in here, they'll affect their lives as well when they go back to Poland, if they go, providing they go back to Poland, I think. So this is something that I always think about and I try to explain them different things, but then sometimes I think, oh, hold on, it's just not, it's not important, it's not valid for them. They haven't experienced that. You don't have to be so particular about things. It's just you need to understand their situation.
Do you, what curriculum do you work to?
Well, we've got curriculum set up by Polska Macie Szkolna in London.
Yes.
So this is something really trivial, I'd say, like a bit of tradition, a bit of songs, a bit of like Polish letters, and history is quite important.
History, yes.
We've got books. Yes. I'll show you. We've got books, and they look quite nice, and they would work very well when I was in school. So, for example, we've got Map of Poland with different strojek, what is it called?
Kaszubski. Yeah. Costumes.
Out for costumes, yeah.
Kaszubski,
so,
yes.
Yeah. So it looks fine for grown-ups, but I think for children, those songs and stuff, they just can't really, it's not telling them anything. So they've got some stories about Second World War and some questions, but I think because I work in English school, primary school, I know this is something completely irrelevant. They don't work this way in English school. They haven't got books like that, and they just make stuff. They do projects. They play. You know, they make stuff. Whereas this is just filling loads of things. It's just
so this is an exercise book.
This is exercise.
A traditional perhaps exercise
yes.
book.
Yes.
The contents. Brought up to date,
yes.
But it still follows the traditional pattern. Whereas you're saying that English primary school children
yeah.
will work in small groups, perhaps around a table together.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll work on a project together.
Yeah, yeah. That's my aim. I'm still working towards that, but I'm struggling because the classroom's not fitted for me. Like it's English school, but the classroom the benches, the tables
are
just straight, and they've got drawers with certain stuff and stuff for certain children. And when I move them, I find it difficult to put them back in the right places. And then we get told off, and then we need to pay more money. You know, that is really difficult to make changes. I'm just 3 hours there, then I need to stay and tidy up. And, you know, this is really difficult. It's tiny little things. It's really difficult to do something, but I try really hard to do projects. We made up things to teach them grammar. These are houses by the grammar street. So we make stuff with, you know, we stick on different things, and we try to play. But it's not easy, and they've got different levels, very different levels. Like, this is something.
So some very bright and some
I've got children writing 5-6 pages long stories, and I've got children who can't write in Polish.
Dyslexia, is this?
I haven't come across in my class dyslexia. I'm aware of that. My very close friends working with dyslexic children. I've worked with autistic child for 3 years.
Yes.
In
the Polish school.
In Polish school.
Yes. Yes.
And I
actually, so the Polish school is inclusive.
Oh yes, and yeah, as you, I wanted to correct you. Actually, it's not only for Polish children.
No.
Anybody can come. We're prepared to communicate in English as well,
yes.
But the person needs to be able to communicate a bit of Polish or a bit English. It couldn't be a person with no Polish or English, because we wouldn't be able to be to keep the child start. Safe.
Yes.
So, but we had to. A half Chinese, half Polish children for a couple of years.
Yes.
I don't know why they're not. Maybe they're coming to the other school now. I don't know. But they were our very bright girls.
This population of yours in the Polish school, are they stationary, or do they come and go to Poland?
Stationary.
They're pretty yeah. stationary. They're pretty established.
Yeah.
They've put their roots down.
I think so. Some of the children in my school, they started going to school before I started to teach there.
Yes.
So I started to work in school in 2008, but school was set up in 2007.
Yes.
So it was quite fairly new school. So, and children still carry on going to school. And
because nobody knows very much about the movements of EEC migrants, because they can come and go across frontiers. That's the whole point of the EEC. And nobody knows whether the big Polish migration has gone back or...
Lots of people went back, but they keep coming here as well.
Keep arriving. Maybe the ones with children put their roots down and they want to stay for the stability for the children and the younger ones.
I think so. That's the highest drive, the biggest drive for parents. If the children got friends and, you know... And we, for example... Next weekend is that training I organise, but in 3 weeks' time, I'm taking my children and some parents to London to Polish theatre. We go there twice a year. Since I started working, I tried to organise those trips as well.
Fantastic.
We're going to watch Koziołek Matołek.
Yes, the goats.
Wow, I thought that wouldn't ring a bell.
Yeah. Well, I've still got my Polish exercise books. I will show you.
All right. Okay.
1940s.
Fantastic.
Charming.
Yeah, you must come to school once. I need to organize a little chat. You know, with children. I need to think about that, how we can organize it so it's interesting for you.
I'd be delighted.
All right. Okay.
We could do something like going to see the doctor.
You're the doctor. Okay.
Retired doctor.
Okay, because what I wanted to do, I wanted to invite some people from different professions to have a little chat about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, fantastic.
But I've got a couple of pupils who don't speak English, so that might be quite difficult, and they get quite upset if they can't understand. But I could be translating.
Have to do a double act. Well, you see, if you have A-level children.
No, myself, I have 10 years old children, year 4 class. Yeah.
Anyway, you think about that. That's an offer. Definitely.
Fantastic.
Okay. I don't know if it's a stereotype, but one of the explanations why the Polish migrants do well in England is given that there's a better basic level of education in Poland than there is in England. Have you heard this opinion?
I have.
What do you think of it?
This is I think this opinion comes from Polish people rather than English people.
Well, not necessarily. No?
I don't know, but I myself would rather my children to go to English school than Polish school. I work in English. I've been working since 2009, so I know a little bit about how English school works.
What would the advantages be of the English system? Let's compare the two systems, the Polish system of education, the English system.
But I have to admit, I'm not up to date what's going on in Poland at the moment. I roughly know. I can give you one example, for example. My brother's son is 11 or 12 now, and he's still in primary school because primary school goes up to 12 or something.
Yes.
He's still primary school, year 6, I think he is. And he was learning biology for the test. My brother was helping him. He was learning differences in, I don't know how to say, between... komórki? The little parts in the body, what they called?
Blood cells?
Cells, yeah.
Cells
in animals and in plants.
Plants, yes. Plant cells and animal cells. Okay.
Yeah, cells. The differences in the structure.
Quite sophisticated, yes.
Very. I can't see why. What's the reason? Maybe I was learning that age. I can't remember that. But I remember primary school being really stressful.
Yes.
And spending 4 hours in school or 5 hours in school and then four hours at home doing homework. Every day. Homework is important, I think. I always give homework. Even for half term, I always give homework. But it's not boring rewriting this or memorizing something. For some people, it might be boring, but I try not to be boring. So this is something that really struck me. I can't see the reason why learning by heart, things like that, for year 6 pupil. But the other thing, classrooms in Poland, empty. Empty and three rows of tables in pairs, children sitting in pairs. Yes. And sometimes some displays, but only put up by teachers, and maybe Mickiewicz, Słowacki, really boring, dull classroom. Even new buildings, dull, boring. Mm. So this is something. Whereas, in here, it's like we're making something in the classroom, and at the end of the term, everything goes on display, and right. for the next term, everybody is proud what we've done, and they remember, and they remember, and everything they're learning. I spend ages laminating stuff all the time, conjunctions and sophisticated vocabulary, something to help yes. them, you know, and it looks messy. Classrooms in England look messy, mm-hmm. but they're brilliant. They're brilliant. Mm-hmm. So this is something.
And the children in England tend to sit at small groups?
Yes, it depends. It really depends, but there is that tendency working in groups. They work in partners, they work in groups, and they work in individually. And there yes. is a variety all the time, whereas in my class, they tend to work individually or sometimes in groups, but it's so difficult. I've got really chatty children. They can't work together. I find it really difficult. Yeah. Yes, yes. So, I need to just, that's a tough choice for me, but at the moment, I regret, but they're working individually or in pairs, nothing else. But the other thing is, in England, they spend all, like, long day in school, quite long. In Poland, 3-4 hours.
Right.
And then there is no assigned time to me to eat anything in Poland. Nobody's checking if you've eaten or not eaten. There is no lunch time, let's say. There are different breaks. There are 10, 15 minutes breaks. One is 20 minutes where you may be supposed to eat what you've got. But whereas in here, there is a time and space to eat and play. Obviously, when you've got 20 minutes, would you eat or play?
Both are important.
But when you, if you were a child, you would play, you wouldn't eat.
Yes, and then.
So that is really nutrition. Important. And it's brilliant for parents as well. They can go to work at least for 6 hours or so. You know, yes. there is it's really well organized, I think.
Yes, yes, yes. So that's a bit about how you see the contrast the between the Polish system and the English system.
Yeah. But on the other hand, I see here Polish parents, they really push it, they want their children to do their homework the best, you know, because this is the habit we've got from Poland.
This is the culture.
The culture, really hard-working people, and, you know, but sometimes they do it without understanding, or, you know, or not having fun, or it's a chore, yes. you know, that kind of stuff, so... Most of my students in Polish school, they're very hardworking. They always got the homework, but sometimes I think they don't understand everything, and you know, they just do it without thinking sometimes. And in English school, I see how they just acquire the knowledge, the skills. They just
soak them up.
Soak them up, yeah.
Yes. Soak them up by immersion.
Yes.
Yes. Let's come on to the older generation of Poles. Do you must have come across some.
Yes.
From the quite old now, the ones who came in my father's generation came during the war.
Yes.
How do they seem to you? How do you find them? What are they like?
The people from the people I met in General Anders Day last year in my school, like Mr. Václav Domagała or Zita Szlejewska, they absolutely lovely people. I was so impressed, because I have to say I heard rumors they're a bit grumpy and they don't like new generation. But I don't, you know, I try not to listen to those opinions, but they were absolutely lovely guests and they were very interested in children's work, and they were talking about their experience. We were taking photos. Mr. Domaga was showing his medals. Mrs. Szulejewska was talking about her journey from Siberia and how she was they have their schools set up in here, and it was all really lovely experience. And with Mr. Domagawa, whenever I see him, we always have a chat, and it's really, really lovely. They're lovely people. But I also know the other type of people who came here, and they really, their experience really affected them.
Yes.
And the way they look at life, at other people, yes. And it might be quite tough to be around them.
And, well, they're probably not the people who are taking part in this interview project. They won't talk about it.
Probably. And
they are perhaps very, understandably, very traumatised.
Yes, yes.
Still traumatised by what happened and what they went through. And after all, who can blame them?
No, obviously, No. It's completely understandable.
So how do they regard the new generation of working Poles who come here?
Well, you asking about Mr. Domagawa or the other people who
in general. How do the hurricane pilots of 1940 how do they regard the plumbers of 2010?
I've got really good experience with the people who visited our school, and they're really friendly, and I can't really say anything about it. And I know there are several other people, I can't remember the names, they came, and we've released, because we've got a little newspaper in our school, it doesn't come out regularly or very often, but we released one just for that day, and he borrowed the paper, and he was telling us all about how it's been brilliant. We invited him, and it was absolutely lovely, but I didn't hear any opinions about, you know, they told me they didn't know about the school, you know, they didn't realize we're doing stuff like that. I think it's really shame we can't do things together, because maybe we could learn one from another a bit more.
I'm told that, looking at Polish history, every 2 or 3 generations, there's a huge emigrazia.
All right, okay.
A huge one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then 40, 50, 60 years later, the new arrivals just meet the very old people.
Right.
Just the ones at the start of their lives meet the ones at the end of their lives. And that's perhaps a part of Polish society, is the people who don't live in Poland.
Yeah.
You were born in 1981.
Yes.
In bad years.
Yeah.
What was your childhood like coming up in Poland, growing up in Poland before the wall came down, before the enlargement?
Well, it was just a couple of months before it happened, so I can't really remember that. But then when I was growing up, when I was going to preschool and to primary school, we were quite poor. Most of my friends were really poor. We didn't have much food. We weren't hungry, anything like that. My mum was single mum, so that was quite tough for her. We always had food, and we always could go and visit my grandparents and stuff. I even went on holidays a couple of times, but I have to say it was quite hard. And I remember the moment in 1989 when it started changing after the round table and Wałęsa and all that.
So what was the first thing you noticed?
New shops coming up, appearing, private shops, not like...
Because Sklepy, yes.
Sklepy. We didn't have like private shops, they were just state shops. Like.
And before 89, what was in the shops?
Well, hardly anything.
Yes.
Hardly anything.
Yes.
So there was nothing like, you know, you would have gone and, oh, let's do some shopping. Oh, shall I buy a bar of chocolate? You couldn't get chocolate. I remember we had the reglementation of food, so we had special vouchers, and you could get only...
Food rationing.
Yeah, food rationing. You could get only, for example, I don't know, 10 loaves of bread per month.
Yes.
If there was a bread available, but sometimes there wasn't. So that was quite tricky for...
So much bread. So
loads
much
of queues, fat. Long queue. I remember queues very well.
What about fruit?
No, I can't remember like exotic fruit being around. Anything like just apples, really bad quality, not nice looking apples. I remember loads of onions and potatoes, because we had family in the country, so yes. we were given some stuff and eggs and sometimes some meat, but and when my mum went to the butcher's, it was like 30 or 40 people queuing, and they were, it was like ages, 2 hours, 3 hours, and they were queuing when there was nothing in the shop. It was empty, and they were waiting for delivery. So people started queuing like 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
And then delivery was like midday.
Yes.
So that was hard. My mum, when she was pregnant with me, she was always sent with by her friends or family to go to the queue because she was sometimes...
Yes, she'd get in front.
Yes, sometimes.
But that started, you were 8 or 9, 1989, 1990.
Yeah.
The wall came down. Suddenly yeah. things changed.
Yeah, changed. School became, the religion went back to school. I remember my first communion. It was a big thing in school because before that we weren't allowed to do it in schools.
So there was no religious teaching in school?
No.
Right.
But it went the other way around. We had then got...
Full on.
Full on, and yeah. And when it comes to our... I can't remember what it's called in English. The Godwo, Białe Orze, what is it called?
Białe Orze,
but what is a Godwo in English? Godwo.
A shield or...
Not a shield. I mean, do you know what I mean? I'll show you what I mean.
Crest.
This is... Crest, maybe. I'd say crest, maybe.
Coat of arms.
So our eagle...
Białe Orze is white eagle, isn't it?
Yeah. White, there was always a symbol of Poland.
Yes.
And it always had a crown.
Yes.
Until Russian came, they took crown of the eagle. Yes. And I remember putting it back on.
The crown went back on.
Yes.
So you remember when the crown went back on, yes, the white eagle.
Yes, I remember that.
And now they all have crowns again.
And you know what? I remember one more thing before 1989. I remember singing Russian songs in school, although I didn't learn Russian at all yet because I was I was learning Povsiegda Budiet Sonce, which I didn't understand a word then. It was always shining, everybody is happy, you know. That kind
just,
of crap.
Just how things were.
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly. So did you learn Russian as well?
No, not at all. Because we were... my brother learned Russian because he was older. You started learning foreign language when we were year 4, I think. Year 1, 2, 3, there was no foreign language. So we were just learning songs just to prepare us. maybe they didn't.
So into the 90s, and Poland started to develop. Of course, it's a job to ask you very much about that as a young teenager. But what was life like at?
There were ups and downs because there are loads of rules, change of rules, different. Yes. Then you know, I remember the different governments coming. I can't remember all the names, but I remember the first elections. That was a big thing, you know, people voting, and it was really not that the candidates weren't really good. Like the option wasn't good. It was either Wałęsa or the other guy who was really.
Yes.
We didn't know who he was. To me, he was right. I think he was a businessman, but he was actually, I don't know who he was, but not definitely not the right person to be president. I remember loads of people trying to set up their own businesses and some flourishing, some failing, different, you know, ups and downs constantly. Some people becoming really wealthy very quickly. And some people just,
losing out.
Yeah.
Red Army, did you see the soldiers? No,
we were gone. But what I remember as well, now I've just remembered, 1st of May.
It was May Day, of course.
Yeah, so I remember going on the parade. We were forced, that was compulsory. Everybody had to go. I remember that.
Yes, that was the big political day. It had to be celebrated.
Yeah. And it suddenly stopped then. But it was nice for children. I think it was nice. You could get some sweets. It was always nice weather in Poland.
And what about your awareness of historical events?
No, I didn't. I wasn't aware at all. I didn't know what was going on.
So, really. For example, the Warsaw Rising, the Powstanie.
No, I wasn't. I didn't know much about that. I was, in my history lesson in primary school was just up till, I think, Second World War or just before. So we didn't learn much about that. In secondary school, a bit more, but not in details. We didn't discuss that much. I just remember my Polish teacher told us because we, and then actually first time I realized that she said, do you know, we've got proper freedom in Poland only since 1989. And we were really surprised because we didn't understand that. So I remember that she told us. And I keep repeating that to my pupils now because I remember that.
When did you hear about, for example, Katyn?
Oh, it rang the bell somewhere, but I just when the movie was released, really, I knew what was going on. Yes. Because I didn't have an idea what war looked like, really.
Yes.
Because from the books, I read some remarks books about First World War, but
Alvester Nichnoy, All Quiet on the Western Front.
Yeah. But, you know, but Second World War, I really didn't... I had my A-levels in history, but I didn't really know what it looked like in real life, like everyday life. At the moment in Poland, it's a big thing, people talking about that a lot. There were books released, even TV series. There was very popular at the moment called Czas Honoru. And I've learned so much from that. It showed ordinary lives and lives of the AK soldiers and people sent here, Polish pilots and people trained here and went back to Poland to fight in the forest. You know, I've learned loads of stuff like that because from books in the school, you couldn't actually imagine that properly, you know.
And of course, people wouldn't discuss it.
No.
Your parents would
know.
Their friends would know, but
no,
it was something they wouldn't talk about.
No. Oh, they were. I think my mum really struggled financially always, so we just didn't have time to discuss history. You know, it's just at the moment it's differently because our lives is a bit easier than it was before, so we can afford discussions like that because we're not worried every day about what's going to happen tomorrow. So it's a bit differently. But it wasn't, you know, when I was a teenager or in primary school, it wasn't forbidden anymore to talk about that. And I know there was a big thing. I remember my mum saying, oh, I can't really help my child in history because this is different history now being taught. I remember her saying this, but not really going into details because I'm sure she just maybe didn't learn very much in school, so she didn't want to confront, really.
Well, today is the day that... we've got to mention that Russia invaded Crimea today. How will that be seen in Poland, do you think? Next door, big state.
At the moment, Poland is really engaged in the Ukrainian problems.
Yes.
Very, very. I know our foreign... foreign minister?
Yes.
Sikorski. I know he went there to discuss something, and I remember, have you seen it on the television, what he said? I think he wasn't aware he was being recorded, and he said to the Ukrainian people, I did some from the government, I think, you carry on like that, you will have a war in here. And it was obviously you will kill one another in this country if you carry on like that. And it was broadcasted everywhere. But he said, I didn't realize it was set in emotions, but that's how I feel still. Yes, he's quite brave and he's well educated. I think we really... me and my husband, we carry on watching news all the time and we're very worried. Yes. Our country came through something similar, but I think it's worse over there. I think it's worse. Because people at the moment, after nearly 30 years, later, people should be, something like that should never happen again. It shouldn't be happening. It's just, and at the moment, me, myself, and Zuche and Harcerze, we're preparing the Academia for 3rd of May. And the last bit of scenario of our script is a poem of about children's rights.
Yes, the Academia is a presentation.
Yes, yeah, it's just celebrating that. It's when we celebrated twice a year, Independence Day in November, mm-hmm. and first European Constitution, who was written and approved in Poland. So that was first European Constitution. So we were very proud. But I wanted to tell my students, it was done. It was first in Europe, but nobody actually followed that up. And we just need to be really mindful nowadays, because we've got rules, we've got children's rights, we've got, you know, there is a right, we shouldn't be killing people. And for some reason, other countries letting Russian people killing Ukrainian people at the moment. And how is it working now? We've got United Nations, we've got everything. And for some reason, we've got, you know, all the rights, and Barack Obama killed, whatever that guy is who
Bin Laden,
and how does it work? It's, you know, it's just, it's important discussion, I think, on human rights and everything. So I'm just, yeah, it's very moving, it's very emotional for Polish people. Yes. I think very. Yes. And so part of Ukraine was Poland. It used to be Poland.
Long,
so
long time, many yeah. long time.
Oh yeah, we used to be huge country. So, there is a lovely short movie showing how the Polish map changed the borders, and my pupils always ask me, can you show us again, oh, we need to get this back, land back, they always say. And like, no, it's not working like that. That was really violent how we did it before.
Yes,
and put lights on.
Different times. Well, I think perhaps we're drawing to the end of the interview now, but is there anything else you'd like to tell me about your experiences coming here, coming from Poland, coming to England?
When I first came, I was working, I said, physically, like in a hotel or waitress. It was a bit...
With your masters.
With my masters. But I did the same in Poland summer holidays. You know, it's not like I felt... And because my English wasn't as good as it is now, I understood I couldn't be doing anything else, really. Mm-hmm. I need to just pay, you know, I need to pay... For, you know what I mean? I don't know how to say it in English, but you just need to give something before you actually get something. That's my view. So I was, you know,
put
working.
Put something in and you'll get something.
Yeah, exactly. So that was my idea. But then when I came here and started working in Polish school and then volunteering, and I got a job in this school I still work in, it was absolutely lovely. Everybody so welcoming and helping me, because I still struggle sometimes in some areas, whether it's pronunciation, whether it's just something I don't know about the culture, about history, you know, very recent history, like 20 years ago, I have no idea what's going on in here, like, you know, that kind of stuff. So people really nice, and my school is really diverse. You've got different pupils, different teachers.
So you're talking about your day job, as it
yeah,
were.
Yes, the school, English school. So that was really, really good experience.
Where you're working as a teaching assistant.
Yes. And originally, I wanted to work my way on the career ladder to become a teacher, because I've got qualified teaching status in England. I got it.
You have?
Yes, I have it. But
is that
because I got it translated? If you
you have
if
it in Poland, yeah, and it's been
recognized,
yeah,
converted. Yes, exactly. But at the moment, I think when I was, I've been watching teachers working, they working so hard.
They work
so,
very hard.
Yeah.
They work very hard.
So many hours and huge responsibility. I'm not sure if I want to do that just yet. Maybe I just need to become be a bit more mature. Maybe I need to do different things in between, and maybe I get loads of experience in Polish school, so that's good for me at the moment. I'm not losing my skills, so
it's all an investment.
I think so. Yeah. I'm giving something to my community, but I'm just getting something back because it gives me something. I can't really explain what that is, but it gives me something that you can't actually buy, you know. Just giving something to your community and, you know, being around them and, you know, you see them learning, you know. This is something really precious to me. But originally, I didn't want to be involved in Polish community at all. I wanted to have some more English friends, and but I couldn't do it for some reason. I found it really difficult, the culture. Although we're really similar in a way, but because my background, I haven't got English, that proper English friends that would understand me. I've got more Polish friends.
Is that a common experience for Polish emigres, would you say?
I think so, yes. I think so. Although I know some Polish people who have English friends, I just think I spent too much time and energy on working with Polish people. I didn't have a chance to meet the right people.
Yes.
I think so. And the people I meet from work, I don't want to become very, you know, close friends with people I work with. I think that's not... I'm not sure about that. But my experience in general is very, very positive, although I think I'm going back to Poland in the future.
Yes.
Unless we've got children and they want to stay here, maybe when they little. It depends, as we were discussing.
As we were saying, that's when one puts roots down.
Yes. So but my husband wants to go back to Poland, but I'm not sure about that. I think I'll be missing England. I was missing Poland big times until my husband said we will be going back in 7 years' time. And now I think I'll be missing England. So I don't know. So I'm just being now in between.
Well.
Because my whole career, my whole like proper grown-up life is around England, and I don't know what it's like in Poland, and I'm not sure if I want to know. But you know, on the other hand, I think Poland's got a big problem at the moment because not many children being born, and it's a population problem. It's completely the other way around to England. So yes. I think all the Polish people should go back to Poland now to help out. But I think we haven't got facility to do it, but I think that this is something that would really help Poland if we encourage people to, because there is, I'm not saying we're not being welcomed in here, but I think this country is overcrowded anyway, so that would be really useful to do something to help them to go back and settle, because 50%, if not more, would like to go back. It's just that they just can't see them finding a jobs and getting the mortgage, you know, that kind of stuff. Although
depends so much on the economy, doesn't
it?
But
that would help economy. Those people would help.
It's a huge contribution to the Polish economy. And people that return bring skills with them.
Yeah,
skills and abilities. And
whole approach, I think Polish people became... vast majority of Polish people became better people as a person, human beings.
Yes.
Because they've experienced tough times, most of them tough times, the arrival and coping like with no English, loads of different things. And seeing different cultures, loads of my friends who, I've got some friends who are coming back, they're afraid of that because they think Polish people are a bit xenophobic because they just think about themselves, not very open to... they're not very open to other cultures, if you know what I mean.
So
people who arrived here, they're a bit more open-minded. So So that would be really good for Poland, but, well, I don't know about that. I wanted, believe me, I met a consul and I even emailed him. I wanted to help out with different things, but it's just, I think they're just interested in their own business. They're not interested in people, I'm afraid. So that is my idea, starting from the bottom, starting from getting people. I organized that. Loads of stuff for Polish people for free.
Yes.
Because I think when we started helping one another, people who got help from me, they might help somebody else later, and maybe they come back and then maybe can do something together. And all of that I learned in England. But I know there is loads of good stuff like that going on in Poland as well. Loads of things like that. It's changing, especially people like me and younger, 5-10 years younger, they really good people. Nice population growing up, but there's not many of them being born. So
not enough being born. On that note, perhaps we'll close.
All right. Okay.
Thank you so much.
A bit chatterbox.
Thank you so much.
I'm not sure if I was going off the topics.